Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
Aloha, friends. Monica Swanson here, and I am so excited to get to be one of the first to say Happy New Year. That's right. This episode will release on January 1st, 2025, and it is such a privilege to get to kick off the new year with all of you. So if you're new around here, I'm coming to you from the North Shore of Oahu in Hawaii, where my husband, Dr. Dave, and I have raised our four sons, and I love to encourage you in your parenting journey, in your wellness journey as women of faith. So if you don't know me, please head over to my website at monicaswanson.com, where you're going to find 14 years of content. I love to give away free stuff. You're going to find some links over there to free downloads and 5.5 years of podcast episodes. So basically, I'm here for you. I want to get to know you. If you're on Instagram, you can find me at monicaswanson_. Please say hi, and I'd love to meet you. Now, 2025 is going to be a great year here on the podcast. I'm making some subtle shifts that I can't wait to roll out for all of you. Going to have some amazing guests like I always have, but also some episodes that are specifically in response to your requests. I'm going to be answering questions and supporting you in the things that are most pressing in our lives as moms and women today. And today, I get to kick off the new year with just such an encouraging and inspiring episode. We have the legend himself, Bob Goff, with us, talking about what it means to have a whimsical new year. Bob's most recent book is called Catching Whimsy. It's 365 Days of Possibility. And now, while this isn't exactly a devotional, it's not like a deep dive into scripture, Bob says it's a daily tap on the shoulder to remind you how over the moon God is about you and your beautiful, often complicated life. I found this conversation to be super refreshing. Bob is a great storyteller, and he inspires everyone. Whenever I read a Bob Goff book, I end up going, man, I just want to be more like Bob. Well, today, I think he shares how practical all of this stuff is for our everyday life. We don't have to do some of the big, wacky things that Bob does, but we can live a whimsical life of faith every day. And I hope that's what you take away from this episode. Also, be sure to go over and check out show notes, because I'll be linking to an excerpt from Bob's new book, and he's also offering a giveaway of a few copies of his new book to some of you. So head over to show notes at monicaswanson.com/Bob Goff, and you will find links to everything we talk about, Bob's book, and where you can follow him. Now, I want to jump right in and let Bob do the talking. I'll have a few final words to say at the end, but without further ado, here's Bob Goff and I talking about catching whimsy in 2025. I hope you're encouraged. Bob Goff, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks a million. Great to be on with you.
Oh, I've always wanted to chat with you, so I hope this is the first of many.
Oh, good. Let's do that.
Let's do that. And we've already started chatting, so I was like, let's just hit record and let everybody listen to our crazy talk about all the things. And before I kind of jump in and tell you some things we have in common, tell us just the brief intro to who you are.
Yeah, well, I'm married to sweet Maria Goff, and we made three people, and they married three people, and they made four people. So
wow,
that's it. There's a little posse of 12 people. Mm. And I'm convinced one of them will betray me. but there's 12 of us, and we're moving through life and trying to just do meaningful, purposeful things that hopefully move the needle in our lives and others.
That's a good intro. And what have you spent most of your life doing? For those who don't know you.
Yeah, in a previous life, I was a lawyer for 30 years or so. And then I went straight. And so I wrote a book, and because I spent a lot of time on airplanes. So in the back of an Alaska Airlines flight, I started working on a book that ended up being one that is out there. And then we started building schools with the proceeds that came from the book, and people like the book, so we built lots of schools. So we've got.
I assume we're talking about the Love Does.
Yeah, it was Love Does, and
book.
We started.
I mean, you've had many good books, but how many copies of Love Does has sold right now?
That's curious. A couple million, between a couple and several. So, so we started a school in Uganda at first with 9 kids, but then now there's more. And then we started one in Mogadishu, Somalia, and a village in Afghanistan, and a school for girls in Afghanistan, school and educational opportunities in India. Mm-hmm. And so there's about 14 countries that have different schools and programs. Then we do things domestically. We have, I teach a class at Pepperdine Law School, but also a class at San Quentin Penitentiary.
There we go.
So been doing both of those for many years. So it's really varied. And we've got a little retreat center out here in San Diego. You ought to come out with your husband and say hello. And we have a vineyard at the retreat center because we were bored. It just seemed so biblical. I'm like, let's plant a vineyard. So I planted the vineyard and we just did our first harvest. So 30,000 bottles of wine that I've got no use for.
They'll find a home.
So act surprised when you get your Christmas present.
Oh, that's so much fun. Okay, now I get to throw out some of our fun connections before we dive in and talk about a whimsical new year here. And one is, you mentioned being on an airplane. I think that's because you lived in Gig Harbor and were commuting to San Diego. Is that right?
Yeah, but the opposite. Lived in San Diego. And then would go up and work during the day. I had a little house on Raft Island.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I would run back to San Diego each day.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so practicing law in San Diego, though, right?
Yeah, I was a lawyer here, but in Southern California, all the lawyers are getting kind of uptight and mean. So I thought, I'm going to go to Washington State. Everybody's kind of chill up there. So I just thought, I'm just going to go up there. So I did that, and I just kept doing it. Right? I ate my body weight in peanuts every day.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that's why I look like this. And then I just got to a point, it was a Thursday, and I quit stuff on Thursdays. And I just thought, you know what? I'm capable of being a lawyer, but I don't feel like called. I don't feel like that's a legacy I want to leave. And so I'd written this book, and we were building schools. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to go all in on that. Wow. So I quit my job. And then have been volunteering ever since then for Love Does.
Awesome. So cool. Well, many people listening know that I was born and raised in Gig Harbor. So we have that little connection. But then you also taught at my alma mater, Pepperdine. Are you still teaching there now? Fun.
They still let me do that. Isn't that crazy?
So crazy.
I applied to school there when I was in college, but I could barely spell cat. but they let me teach there now. And they won't let me leave.
Well, my older brother and I both went to school at Pepperdine, and now my 14-year-old son, who's an avid golfer, is starting to eye it for a hopeful scholarship one day, and he would need a scholarship.
Nice, yes. Yeah, you just want to staple pictures of him on the rowing team and make something up and send it in.
Right?
I think somebody got in trouble for doing that. But,
that's right.
But what he could do is start going over there, meeting all the people you already know.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that they're just so much of a family. They look beyond just your GPA. They're looking for character and all that. And so
that's
your son, having everybody get to know him would be a smart move between now and when he's doing that in the, would that be middle of the junior year?
Good advice.
Yeah, that would be a good call.
Somebody listening, take notes. That's a great idea, especially for any smaller colleges. My older two boys went to Westmont, and I think so much of that, too, is just like getting to know people, that family vibe.
And it's not that, like, you know, secret handshake, get to know people, but just they get to know you're like a good egg.
Yes. Yes. Yep. That's a good way to say it. Okay. And then last thing I have to throw out, I came to know Jesus through Young Life and spent time at Malibu. And you are, I know, connected with Young Life and have a home. I think it's rebuilt now, right? You do have a place up near Malibu, Canada.
We spent, the Malibu Club is probably on 20 acres. And then it's surrounded by this beautiful inlet. And Weyerhaeuser, the forest products company, owned it. And when I was up there, when my kids were the size of trout, all these helicopters started buzzing around the inlet, cutting down the trees, which is all the worst parts of Fern Gully. Because you can't cut down these, like, ages-old first-growth cedars. It would be like logging Yosemite. Yeah. And so I got a hold of Weyerhaeuser and said, I don't have any money. I'm, like, broke. But what if I buy the inlet from you, just 100 acres at a time? Mm-hmm. And so I'm a lawyer, and if something goes happy, then I'll buy 100 acres. So I did that over 20 years and got it all. And then we thought with enough dynamite, we could build a little house next to this Young Life camp that we like. So we're not like sitting at the dock. Right. And so then one thing turned into another, and it got a little bit bigger. And so over the course of a quarter of a century, we made a place kind of next to this Young Life camp that we bring good guys, bad guys, and undecided to.
And
we just have conversations about faith and life and hope and all that. It's been really good.
So cool. And do you pop over sometimes and visit the Malibu camp?
Well, I popped over this summer a lot, once a week, because their boat that meets the Malibu Princess that you came in on.
Yeah.
And all your luggage goes on to another boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then that boat brings it. Well, that other boat broke. So I have a landing craft. So I would every week bring my landing craft over and unload 400 high school kids' furniture, like their their clothes. How much is a reasonable amount of clothes for a 14-year-old girl to bring for 4 days and three nights at camp? Like, what do you think? 30 pounds, 20 pounds?
I don't know.
Somebody threw me one of those. There must have been a dead guy in it, because it weighed 150 pounds and it took out my shoulder. And I've just been nursing this thing. I'm on week 15 of just be like, I'm feeling like such an old guy. But what I've learned in it is this, that where we've been hurt, we end up favoring that. Mm. And so because I favored that so much, because that's where the hurt was, then it started atrophying. And what used to be the strongest part of me is now the weakest part of me. And I was just thinking, like, oh, that'll preach. Like this idea of knowing where the hurts are. And then instead of just favoring them and saying, well, I'm just not going to use that anymore, just say, let me learn from that and let me actually lean into it. Figure out what that's connected to. Get the MRI. Figure out, like, what's connected or no longer connected. And then instead of thinking bad things about that 14-year-old girl with 150 pounds of whatever she had in there, barbells, to say, what can I learn from this moving forward? And that's so much, this journey of life and faith and all that. For people where faith guides your steps, you might find some resonance in this. If you just would believe in the beauty of humanity, as I do as well, you just say, like, what do we do with when relationships get complicated, when we get hurt? Like, what's our next move?
I love that. I love that you kind of are able to take everyday things and turn them into spiritual analogies and learn from them. And I guess that's a great lead-in to talking. This is going to air right at the beginning of a new year. And I'm so excited to talk about the things that you write about as a perspective, facing a new year ahead of us in a world that can feel so heavy and a lot of bad news. But you have a way of finding whimsy, as you call it, in everyday life. And so I think this is a great time to talk about your book, Catching Whimsy, which gives 365 days of possibility.
Yes,
so tell us.
Plus leap year. Like
plus
that happens
year.
Every like decade.
So
I had to write, they made me write leap year. I'm like, really? Yeah. So somebody complained of that with the last Devo I did, there wasn't leap year. I'm like,
oh, they had to wait a day.
You need bigger issues in your life.
That's awesome. But I'm glad you included it just in case. But with that, you have written a number of best-selling books. You've done so many, you know, great things. What kind of led you to this one?
Well, we each get, give or take, 27,383 days. Like, that's the average about how long everybody's typically around. A little bit less if you eat Pop-Tarts. But I would say, the legacy that you want to leave? And so I write books because I want these great-great-grandchildren who I won't have a chance to meet to know a little bit about, like, hope and faith and indecision and ambiguity and all that. And so I hope that for today, that is a tap on the shoulder from a trusted voice, not somebody pointing a finger at you, not somebody telling you there's four words for love in Greek, agape, phileo, just not information, but just stories. And that's what Jesus always did. It's that he never spoke to anybody without telling them a story. And so like that idea of just find stories briefly, but they're stories that the reader would see themselves. They wouldn't see me. Who cares about me? But like their lived experiences. And then if faith guides your steps, to just say, hey, is there a scripture? Is there something that goes kind of hand in glove with that? Where you can just find a little bit more, whatever your relationship is with faith, is there something that that ties into? And so wherever we are in this pathway, like to just say, hey, is there something I could start my day off that'll cause me to lean in, show up a little bit more authentically? If we're talking about what are our hurts and what are your favoring, that would be it. It would be a short story about catching, you know, this bag of luggage or furniture or whatever it was. And then what does that turn into in our lives? And then what's our next courageous step? What's the call you need to make? What's the move you need to make? What's the ambition that you're deferring? Because deferral is what happens all the time. Yes. It's about January 26th, I think, is quit day. And quit day is, they've done a study of, I think it was 100,000 fitness places. And they said, when does everybody usually bail on their fitness goals? And it's about 26 days in.
Oh, man.
And so instead of feeling bad about that, to just say, what is it that caused somebody? It isn't a resolution. It's living with resolve. Yeah. So maybe it's a tap on the shoulder in January to say, how could you live with resolve? Like understand why you're doing what you're doing. I find writing books very tedious, but then I remember why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I'm going to be in a jar or a snow globe, and I want something leaning up against it for the people that I'll never meet. I hope that people have additional perspective and they would enter into the difficulties that have that God has for them each day, and they do with a little bit more hope.
That's so beautiful. I love it. And I know that when I've read your books, and even my boys have read your books in their teenage years, and I remember one of my boys ending reading Love Does and just being like, I want to be like Bob Goff. And so you have a way of inspiring us, and you have some wild stories, some crazy stories. But can you encourage listeners how we can apply some of the same principles of whimsy to just our everyday, maybe more mundane lives?
Yeah, well, here's where we all live is right there. You're in Oahu, and I don't know how many square miles Oahu is, but I also own an island in Canada. Now, here's the thing about islands. My island at high tide is 5 feet across, and at low tide, it's about 15 feet across. It's a pretty small, it's just a rock that's in the water. It's a big rock. It's in the water. If you put a foot on each side of my island, you would be touching the North Shore and the South Shore. But God never compares what he creates. And islands, no matter what their size, are islands. It doesn't have to be a square mile to be an island. It could be a square inch and be an island. And yet, what we do is we start comparing our island with everybody else's island. And say, you got more pineapples, and you've got more this, and you come back. Why not just delight? We call our island Boy Island, and I have a second island, and we call that Girl Island. And so, and the second one's bigger than the first one. It's probably 6 feet around. So what I want us to do is to remind ourselves that just God doesn't compare what he creates. Sweet Maria Goff always says, keep your eyes on your own paper. Remember that in elementary school? Keep your eyes on your own paper. But then our eyes start straying and we see, and it comes for like no bad motive behind it, but we're just trying to say, hey, are we on track with what everybody else is doing? Because if, you know, if you're the one doing this, you're zigging and everybody else is zagging. Is there a reason that, you know, I'm the only one here on the highway going north right now?
Right.
I remember on, I've sailed to and from Hawaii a couple times, and we left the Ala Moai Marina. We were going to deliver a boat back to San Francisco. It was 42 feet long. Mm-hmm. And there was a dozen of us that got on. Only two of us knew how to sail. And so I got on the boat with the other guy that knew how to sail. These other 10 people like land at the airport, jump on the boat, and we take off. And there was a bunch of boats that had just finished a Victoria to Maui race. And the next race on the circuit was the big boat series in San Francisco. And we all left about the same day. But about 20 of the boats turned around and went back to Oahu two days out. And we kept going and we were like, where'd everybody go? And then we got hit by this storm.
Hey friends, one of the many myths about homeschoolers is that homeschoolers do not attend college after high school. Now, sometimes that is the case, and there are some great alternatives to going to college. But if your child is interested in pursuing some kind of career that requires college, like my two oldest sons have, then college is really important. And the truth is, you can absolutely go to college after being homeschooled, especially if you have great curriculum. That's why I love to tell you about the DiveIntoMath.com curriculum, where our good friend Dr. Shorman teaches amazing math and science classes through the AP level. Now, my two oldest sons studied engineering and data analytics in college, and they give Dr. Shorman lots of credit for both getting into college and getting good scholarships into college, as well as a smooth transition into their college classes after being homeschooled. So a few things you need to know about DiveIntoMath.com. Dr. Shorman teaches everything from a biblical perspective. My boys loved that they had four-day school weeks with short lessons, but Dr. Shorman was able to make it all interesting and pack so much information into each lesson. Also important to note that Dr. Shorman's Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. Now, Dr. Shorman's math classes are based on John Saxon's proven teaching methods of continual review and the integration of algebra and geometry. Friends, you want to run over to DiveIntoMath.com, check out everything they have to offer. I think you're going to be impressed.
We didn't know. I guess I missed the weather report. But oh my goodness, we just got crushed.
Yeah.
And so what you might do when you have a bad circumstance is you make a stupid rule. Like the rule is, like maybe you were in high school and somebody broke your heart and you said, I will never love again. Mm-hmm. And so you make a rule to guard your really fragile heart and its scaffolding around that really tender moment. But then all of a sudden you're 20 like me and can't get a date. And the reason is because I go shallow with everybody. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I made a stupid rule that early on, I thought everybody was going to leave me. Mm-hmm. And so why would I want to go deep? Because then everybody's going to leave me anyway, and it'll just hurt more. Right. And nobody wants to be hanging out with that guy that's only an inch deep. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we need to, and this would be a great thing to do with the new year, is say, what are the rules that I've made about my life? What are the rules I've made about relationships? What are the rules I've made about faith? What are the rules I've made about comparison? But to just kind of do a little bit of an internal audit and say, what are those rules? Were they ever true? And if they were true once, are they still true now?
Yeah.
And do I want to continue to make that true? And I would say, let's tear down some of the scaffolding because it's kind of imprisoned us now. It was helpful at one time because our hearts were wounded. Our shoulders were hurt. But then we started favoring that so much that we said, I will never, or I will always, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just want to revisit the rules. I don't need to tell somebody what the rule needs to be, but I would say, is that rule helping you turn into the person that you're looking for? And because faith guides my steps, I'm not trying to be a better version of me. I'm trying to be a more accurate reflection of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if that resonates with people, you'll know what I mean. And if it doesn't, I wouldn't just stop at being a better version of you.
Yeah.
Because at the end, all you get is a fixed up pickup truck. It has some utility. But I would say what I'm trying to be is someone a little bit more useful than I was last time, a little bit more patient than I was last year, a little bit more whatever. But I know why I'm being patient, because I don't want people to meet my opinions. I want them to meet Jesus. And so stories are a great way to get there. Writing for me is a great tool to get there. So when I'm in the tedious part of writing, or the tedious, you're listening and you're in the tedious part of motherhood or fatherhood, or you're just grinding it out in a very noble work because you're providing for your family, then I would just say, what are the rules we've made about providing for our family? Because some of us are working so hard away from the house that we're not providing what our family actually needs, because they need you. Yeah. And so I would just say, what a great thing. And if your job is get in the way of you or your love for your family or your faith, quit. Every time I got a new job, I would write a resignation letter on my first day before I went to work. It wasn't long. It just said, I quit. And I would address it to my new boss, put a stamp on it, give it to Sweet Maria Goff. I'd say, if this job ever gets in between me and my faith, or me and you, let's just mail it in. You don't even need to tell me. I'll find out.
That's so great. I love that so much. So great. Well, I think that everything you're saying sounds so good. And yet I'm wondering, I love to talk about mindset, and I love like nerding out on brain science and how the Bible agrees. Like, so much of the Bible talks about our thought life and taking our thoughts captive. So I believe that we can change how we think. But I think somebody listening might be like, well, this is good for you, Bob Goff, but this must be natural. This must be just who you are, how you see life. Has this always been how you've thought, or has it taken some work to give yourself this perspective? Or maybe even if it is natural, have you seen other people adopt a more light and whimsical approach to life in the midst of kind of a heavy world?
Yeah, I think of us, maybe if you got your first house and it was a remodel. My first house was a teardown. And I think of myself as more of a teardown than a remodel. Right. Like, I'm not working on the little pieces right now and refining those. I'm still working on the big pieces. And that's after, 65 years of being pretty intentional about that stuff. And yet, I'm not discouraged. I'm just saying, new day, new me.
Yeah.
Like, and so hopefully the people around me will see these incremental changes that I'll make, and they're just tied to having some really good habits, and have some people in your life that don't hold you accountable, but hold you close. Because if you've been held close, you are held accountable in beautiful, winsome ways. To find some friends that won't tell you what to do, but will remind you who you are, and not blow sunshine at you, but they start seeing things in you that you don't see in yourself. And then you become that for other people. Start holding up a mirror to them and to say, this, instead of this is who I want you to be, this is what I see when I see you. And there's something really beautiful and winsome. So in answer to your question, I think it's all those little touches along the way. Somebody asked Neil Armstrong how you get to the moon, and he said 1,000 mid-course corrections.
Wow.
I'm like, bingo. Like, so that would be, that's how you get to Hawaii, 1,000 mid-course corrections.
So true. I love that. Okay. Good stuff. How about humor? Again, I just think maybe hopefully by the new year, we're going to have some good news. There's good things going on in our lives. But for people who are struggling or suffering, humor can be hard to come by. It can be hard to convince yourself it's okay to laugh, even when the world seems a little out of whack. How can you encourage us to just keep coming back to some humor?
Yeah, I think sometimes in between sad stories, there needs to be a time where there's a break where you can actually catch your breath. If there was a book you were writing and you had one sad thing after another, you just bum everybody out, including yourself. And so sometimes what can be authentic, just not feigned humor, but just like to actually give people the kindness of just laugh about something. So I wouldn't show up if you invited me over for dinner. I wouldn't show up empty handed. I would bring something. I'm a box of crackers, a bottle of wine. I would just bring something. It's just like, that's what polite people do. And so what if we were to enter into our conversations having something that you have to offer? And it doesn't have to be like I knew a guy with one leg named Smith. It's like having some, what's the name of his other leg? So I would be that kind of slapstick, but to say, I want to bring with me some interesting thing. Did you know it doesn't matter what size an island is to be an island? And so like, I would just come with an offering, start showing up in your conversations. The first coin ever minted in the United States on one side says, and it's from John 17, we are one. And on the other side, it says, mind your business. That was too expensive to mint that coin, so they stopped minting it. Aww. But there's something beautiful. I've got one of those coins. Aww. We are one. In Hawaii, after the attack on Pearl Harbor, the thought was that there was going to be a second wave, which would be a ground invasion. And so what they did, I don't know if you're aware, they collected all the money in every bank in Hawaii, every single paper currency, and stamped Hawaii on it. Oh. So they would know where that money came from and whose it is. And so isn't that beautiful? The thought was there would be a ground invasion. They would take all the money from all the banks. And so what they did is they stamped it all with the name of whose it is. Okay. And I think I would show up if I came over with some like interesting things. That, and if you want to live a noteworthy life, you got to take notes.
Yes.
You won't remember all this stuff, but if you start getting your head on a swivel and seeing what's going on around you and then start understanding, to your point, what's going on within you and the brain science and the like, why we do the crazy things that we do. And I think there's something beautiful. Have people, if you've ever made, it would be hard to listen to this and imagine it, but if you make a triangle and you look at something across the room, and then you close your left eye and it moves out of the triangle.
Right.
And you close your right eye and it stays center. You just figured out what your dominant eye is. So that, and we all have a dominant eye, the eye with which we see everything. And so if you have somebody who's a little cantankerous or prickly, it's just that their dominant eye is different than yours. So I'm big on doing that, kind of like, wow, that's crazy how that works. And you have another insight. I figure people who seem to be alive in life, alive in their faith, alive in their relationships, are people that are curious.
Yes.
So I would, for this new year, cultivate a tendency, a resting position of curiosity. Be curious about the people around you. Yeah. Paul wrote it in a letter. He said, take a genuine interest in the people you're with.
That's so good. I love that. Yeah, I think my boys, my older boys, grew up just before kind of the whole technology took off. You know, they didn't have smartphones, any of that. And I feel like so much of their childhood was, they lived in their imagination, to the point where I think my parents would be concerned because they would just like be playing out stories in their head about things going on, and just that childlike imagination. And I see that throughout this devotional, where you have been able to cultivate just that childlike wonder in your own life. Any tips for somebody who's kind of just gotten out of that habit, you know, gotten older and lost the joy, the whimsy in their own life? What can they do today?
Yeah, start small. Like start seeing, look closely at something, get a magnifying glass. Like look at something. You can burn ants with it if you want, but what if instead you were to take a little bit closer look at different areas of your life? Start with everything with an F: faith, family, finances, fun, philanthropy, if you can't spell, Ferrari, if you want one. But take different areas of your life and to say, what is it that I'm deferring? What's something that I've deferred? I thought, well, I just haven't gotten around to that. And to say, what would it mean to move that up? I have another friend in Oahu that's learning how to fly a helicopter. And she's this really capable woman in so many other areas. Yeah. And she actually moved there. And she's learning. I bet right now she's like buzzing over your head. But she decided that she was going to do this. It was the most unlikely decision. But then she didn't stop there. Then she went to Uganda and said, hey, I'm going to teach people here, Ugandans that don't have access to the kind of aviation we have. I'm going to teach them how to fly helicopters.
Wow.
But she didn't stop there. She said, what I'm going to do is, and I love that idea. It's like this bigger and better, like where you You just start with a dime and you end up with a Dodge. You
right.
take the dime and you say, what will you trade with it? Bigger and yep. better. And then you end up with a stuffed moose. And then you say, what would you trade me for this moose? And you end up with a queen bed. I don't know if that's an up or downgrade. I like the moose. But then you end up, and what if you were to whatever your age is, 14, aspiring golfer, now, what if you reach out to some other people? Maybe your son already has done that, written to people that are ahead of him that he admires and looks up mm-hmm. to. Like yeah. to just start doing those. And then when they answer, just don't play ding dong ditch with that, to say, hey, would it be possible to? And mm-hmm. then think the next thing, the bigger
Absolutely.
And better. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And anyone can do it, not just.
Oh, you bet. And the older you are, the better it are. And people will think you've lost your mind. And that's okay.
That's
Keep your eyes on your own paper.
Starter right there.
I have lost my mind. I'm tired of doing it the normal way, because I want to write a story during these brief moments we have left that will actually inspire people. They'll yeah. make them swing for the fences.
Right. Yes. I love that. Okay. So before we wrap up, can you share maybe one story, or if you prefer, you could even read it straight out of your book. I didn't offer that before we hit record here, but something from Catching Whimsy that might give people an idea of what they're going to find in the daily readings.
I think what they're going to find is it will be a story, an on-ramp. It will be when I turned 16, tell your son not to listen to this podcast. But when I turned 16, my parents, we had a birthday cake, and then they gave me the keys to this Volkswagen Beetle that had been on blocks in the yard. And they said, well, car's yours, have a blast. And I got in my mind that I was going to go backpacking all alone. So I drove 6.5 hours on the highway to the mountains to go backpacking. What a foolish day one. I wouldn't let my kids out of the driveway. So, and I immediately got bored. I'd never been on the highway before with this car. And so now I'm bored, and I'd read somewhere that if you get really close behind an 18-wheeler, that you could actually put the clutch in and the vortex of the 18-wheeler would actually suck you along. So I got within about 3 feet of the rear bumper. This is why young men are uninsurable. And I put the car in neutral. And for the next 45 minutes, it just sucked me along towards Sacramento.
Not.
Yeah. Now, that's a stupid idea,
yes.
but a great illustration of what grace does. So this idea of grace, when I was also young, I had these bottles, and there would be a Coca-Cola bottle, and they used to have embossed on the bottom, redeemable, 5 cents. And so I would gather these empty bottles that were all used up, and I would go to the grocery store, and I didn't go to church and didn't know anybody that did, but I would go and give them the old bottles, and they'd give me a handful of nickels. Mm-hmm. And that was that first idea of an introduction to the idea of redemption that was actually worth something, like some of our pain is redeemable. I heard that sound like a big religious word. And then I thought about that Coca-Cola bottle that was all used up, and it was actually worth something. It still had value.
Yep.
And so these would be the kind of stories to on-ramp an idea about today. Maybe you're feeling a little bit used up. Maybe you're feeling emptied out. But there's something redemptive. There's something that's still beautiful and to be used. And the same is true of other people that are hurting around you. Why don't you make the call, send the text, drop the note, like those kind of words to say, man, you are worth something. That email, that text will be so healing for people. So it's this idea, tap on the shoulder, remind us of who we are, how we're valued, that God calls us by this nickname, and it's all the same one. You'd think it'd be like when there's really tall guys and they call them Shorty, and then really big guys and they call them Tiny and all that. His nickname for all of us is Beloved.
Yeah.
Like that, he just calls us Beloved.
Wow.
He doesn't say, you know, Jill the People Slayer or Bob the Screw Up or whatever. but he calls us Beloved. And if we could just start our days with an accurate view of how God sees us, with a hope and then a tangible way to put some wheels on it, that's my hope with the book.
That's a good hope. I love it so much. And I hope everybody can get a copy. And I think we're going to be giving a couple copies away maybe. So everyone can go over to show notes to check for that little giveaway going on. But Bob, thank you so much for being with us and just all the ways you inspire and encourage people. Where do you like to connect with people? Where can people find you right now if they want to just jump on their phone?
I am about the easiest guy ever to find. As a matter of fact, I put my cell phone number in the back of 3 million books. So I'm a pretty easy guy to find. So just look up Bob Goff. You'll find
me. I always wonder, do you get calls every day?
So many. It's not even funny. Bob, I just silence
them. Tell me you've regretted that. Yeah, you have.
It's awesome. It's great. But it's like everywhere. It's like, you ever had a dryer sheet that just kind of sticks to your pants?
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That would be me. I'm just like, ever going to be like Bob again.
Oh, that's so much fun. And of course, everyone listening, if you love hearing Bob's stories and his voice, then definitely check out his new book, Catching Whimsy, 365 Days of Possibility. And yes, there will be a link to the book and all the places you can find and follow Bob over in show notes. And now, Bob, one final question inspired by a fan, perhaps in my household. Somebody wanted to know if you have a favorite up-and-coming surfer who you like to follow.
You know what? I'm so glad you asked. There's on the North Shore of Oahu, there's this guy named Luke Swanson that is just tearing it up. It's unbelievable. People in San Diego are talking about, I was in Cleveland, people were talking about him. It's crazy.
Awesome. Great answer. Thank you so much. That was awesome. Well, Bob, thank you. I hope to hang out with you again sometime.
Yes,
God bless you.
Let's do it.
And Happy New Year.
Thanks a million. Bye.
See ya. All right, friends. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. And I hope you were inspired by some of Bob's stories and just the way he tucks those little wisdom nuggets into everything he shares. Isn't that cool? Well, you will find show notes with links to everything we talked about over at monicaswanson.com/Bob Goff. And don't forget to look for the links to an excerpt from his book, as well as the chance to enter to win a free copy of Catching Whimsy. And while you're over there, I hope you'll take a minute to look around my website. Make yourself at home. One great place to start is at the very top. You're going to see a menu bar. Click on Start Here. And when it scrolls down, you can hit on Subscribe to become a weekly email subscriber. I take really good care of those people, by the way. But also below that, there's three different categories. And those are the main things I talk about. And there's a freebie that comes with each topic. So click on whatever interests you. And I hope to bless you with something free and some encouragement in those areas. Okay? So like I said, lots of great stuff coming ahead in 2025. So for now, I want to say Happy New Year. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.
AI of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at 1/3 of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.